we can save this, I guess, disaster if we act now and if we collaborate. And I think that's what I love about the legislation. It's helping to drive that collaboration, that transparency, and that kind of sense of urgency.
Hello and welcome to the NZX Opening Bell podcast. My name's James Sharp, one of the Senior Relationship Managers here at The Exchange. We're recording this in April 2024, and this month we are having a series of conversations on the theme of sustainability. It is, of course, a topic that I'm sure many of our listeners are very familiar with. And to help us with that conversation, it's a delight to welcome my guest today, Head of Sustainability at Chorus Limited, Hannah Taylor. Very warm welcome to you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Great to see you. Now, we've got this topic is so large and broad, it's very easy to get going several different directions. Maybe just to start things off, in terms of your role as Head of Sustainability, what motivated you to be in that role in terms of your career path?
It's a good question. And I don't come from a sustainability background. I spent 25 years in the comms world. But when the COVID-19 pandemic hit and we all went into lockdowns, it just gave me a bit of time to think about what's going on in the world and where can I have control. And I spiraled quite kind of deeply into a dark hole, thinking about my children, thinking about the future that they were going to inherit. And I wanted to do more. So that's what kind of spurred me on to start listening to more podcasts around climate change and actually get a better understanding of what was going on. And then at the same time, I had an amazing boss at Chorus who saw, I guess, a bit of potential there and asked me to pick up a piece of work looking at the sustainability strategy for Chorus. So the two kind of collided at the perfect time. But I think what really motivates me is looking at my children. So I've got two boys, 10 and 7, Luca and Ollie. And I want to make sure that our generation is really supporting their future and their children's futures, because that's what it's all about.
That's really interesting, because I guess with many different topics, one always thinks about how things are impacting us today. Mm-hmm. And it's quite sometimes, I guess, difficult to project that thinking intergenerationally. So I guess, yeah, it's clear that's your motivation. I think it's a very valid reason why one would be so interested and deeply motivated to kind of learn and operate within this space. So you mentioned, of course, the opportunity that came along as well at Chorus. Now, I'm going to make a slight presumption that many people will be familiar with the Chorus, given that people will be listening to this through Wi-Fi connection somewhere. But for those that might not be, would you be able to give a kind of brief Chorus 101?
Yeah, of course. So Chorus is an open access internet network. So we're the wholesaler that sits behind fiber and copper fixed lines. And our customers are the retail service providers that you and me walk into to get our mobile phones or our home broadband connections. So overall, we've got fiber coverage now to 87% of New Zealand, which is amazing. And I guess we're a little bit like the electricity infrastructure companies that sit there. So we're the guardians of the internet.
When I first relatively recently moved to New Zealand, I did quickly become familiar with Chorus because you purchase your broadband through another business. Yes. And then a truck comes with a Chorus on the side, which is confusing if you haven't been familiar. But yes, thanks for that brief overview. Okay, so obviously we want to talk about Chorus's approach to sustainability specifically, but maybe taking a step back, thinking about the kind of global trends that you see in this space, what are the main changes we've seen over the last, say, 5 to 10 years in your mind that is necessarily key to this topic?
So before I answer that, I'm just going to touch on kind of sustainability and what it means to me, because it's quite a broad subject in itself.
Absolutely.
And I think we get really focused on environmental sustainability and thinking about, you know, climate change and how we can decarbonize and how we can, you know, protect species. But there really is another side to it. And it's kind of the protection of people and the well-being of people. And I think both go hand in hand. You can't ignore one. So you've got to make sure you've got that balance, because I think that's what we ultimately want as sustainability professionals. We want to see a world where both the environment and planet thrive, but also people thrive as well. From a climate change perspective, I think the obvious thing for me is just how much more of a focus it has got now across the globe. In New Zealand, obviously, we've got the new climate-related disclosures that have come in, but across other countries, we're seeing similar regulation and legislation coming in. And I think that's a real game changer. It's really changed the dialogue about, yeah, sustainability. And it's taking it from a kind of nice-to-do thing to an essential must-do thing now and in the long term for businesses and corporates and individuals. I think what surprises me is the lack of pace. We know all of the data tells us that we are fast going into a world that is going to be very different to the world that we live in today. But I do think thanks to legislation and having the right conversations, we're starting to see the boat kind of moves slightly, which I think is a really, really positive thing. And obviously, I've only been in sustainability for a couple of years, but in that short time, I feel like the conversation really has changed quite dramatically.
And you mentioned first of all, absolutely to acknowledge the different ways in which we can think about sustainability, because yes, caring for people because of the climate is the same as caring for people from other different sort of angles. So I can completely get how relevant all that is together. In terms of the legislation that's coming to New Zealand, again, many people listening might not be very familiar. Now, without necessarily going into the legal language, but what has New Zealand done differently to other countries at this point?
So New Zealand is world leading insofar as it's brought in mandatory climate related disclosures for listed companies and other large like financial institutions. And what that does is it changes the dialogue and the attitudes of the organisations that are caught by that. So what it's saying is, great, if you've got a focus on sustainability and you've been, you know, going after targets and action plans that support decarbonisation or biodiversity, that's fantastic, but now we want more. So we want to know how you are embedding this into your risk framework. We want to see how you are embedding this into your strategic thinking and how you run your business. So I often say internally, we've spoken for such a long time about customers and cost. Now it's the third C that's come in, climate. So for every decision we make as a business, we need to be considering what climate change is bringing our way. And I think that's the game changer with these regulations. But, you know, you'll see Australia consulting at the moment, European countries, US are all moving to put in similar things. So it's forcing organisations to make sure it's part of the way that they operate, which is fantastic.
And I'm really keen to understand how that works sort of practically at Chorus. But just in terms of legislation, because people have different views on government intervention more generally, in your mind, does it reflect, you think, the feeling amongst the kind of nation or internationally, the global community? So do you think it's actually just following where the conversation's going as opposed to implementing something which people don't really care about, as much about? I mean, what would your take on that be?
I think overall the legislation is welcome, especially for sustainability professionals who have been, you know, pushing this agenda for a while. I'm really pleased that in New Zealand it's not mandatory for all organisations, because there is a lot that needs to be done. And I think it's the right move to start with the bigger organisations in the hope that we can then move to support smaller businesses as we move through. But I think, yeah, across the globe, what I'm hearing is that people want to see this legislation. They want to see the regulation come in, because we know that that's really the only way we're going to see that collective action and drive. And people equally being held accountable for greenwashing and fudging things a little bit. So it is a really positive thing.
Indeed, and great to hear. Okay, so thinking about Chorus specifically then, clearly Chorus is running a business, they're providing a service for customers, there's obviously got through the lens of return to investors, etc. So I guess taking a blank sheet of paper, I realise it probably wasn't exactly like this, but legislation's coming down the track. How do you look at the business from sort of day one and think, right, what do we need to do? What's the process that you move through and continue to move through?
Yeah. So, I mean, our sustainability journey started before the legislation came in, so 2 or 3 years ago now. And the first thing we did was we actually went out and had a conversation with key stakeholders. So that be investors, that be people in our supply chain, customers, government and other agencies to go, what do you think we should be focused on when we're talking about sustainability? And that was a mixture of kind of surveying people and then having one-on-one interviews. And we partnered with a third party to help us do that, just so that we could make sure that they were impartial when they gave those views. And then from there, we were able to assess, okay, where are the things that Chorus should focus on the most? Thinking about environmental and social. So from there, we looked at also where our biggest emissions profiles sit. Because I think unless you know where to go and where your biggest opportunities are, it's really, really difficult, right? So we did that analysis, used the data, and from there we developed our sustainability strategy. For the last 3 years, we've had a sustainability report, which shows our progress against that. But key was just having those conversations and making those connections with the people that care about Chorus to say, where should we be investing our time and effort?
So yeah, it sounds very much like, well, it makes complete sense. I haven't heard it, but I guess from the start, you know, people will think be thinking in different ways, but it makes complete sense to me that you'd start with the people who essentially operate and care about and have connect with the business and kind of work that from a bottom up and then apply the legislation on top, I guess. So yeah, I mean, in your sustainability report, you know, you do talk about things like risk and different scenarios. So, I mean, how does that work exactly? I mean, what is climate change a risk? Does that affect the business?
It's a really interesting one. And the more you kind of delve in, the more you realise quite a few of your risks in your business have a sort of climate related lens that you can apply. So what we are doing at the moment is actually coming together as a sector. So across the telecommunications infrastructure sector, we're coming together to say, where are our big risks and opportunities from a climate perspective? It could be physical, it could be economical, it could be policy related, it could be social related. But we've come together to basically start to identify those drivers that we believe climate change will impact the most for our sector. And that's been a really, really important exercise and something that is mandated in the climate-related disclosures. From NEA, we will have a beautiful report that we'll put out there, which shows that we're really starting to think about it. Within Chorus, we've been looking at our climate-related risks and opportunities for a while, and it's been really interesting to see how every single area of the business has had to be consulted on this. So if you think about us, we're, you know, infrastructure organisation. If extreme weather events happen and the power goes down, it's really hard for us to get communications back up. So how can we build ourselves to be more resilient and localised? How can we stop relying on the national grid as much as we do? When you think about our emissions profile, the biggest pot that we've got to work with is energy. So we're now looking with the technicians that exist in our business to say, where is the opportunity to find energy efficiency in our kit? How can we start to make sure that we're monitoring our electricity use and our energy use and be innovative to think of ways to reduce that? So actually understanding your risks and your opportunities from a climate-related perspective helps you set that strategy and that plan for action.
Great. I mean, yeah, sounds like a really sort of root and branch approach, quite a kind of lifting up the lid in all aspects of the business. Now, you mentioned just at the top of the conversation in terms of how you apply the concept of sustainability, it's not just about climate change. Could you maybe expand upon that? So in terms of community on the social side, where do you see that term being applied at Chorus and what the opportunity there is as well?
Yeah, and this is one that's really close to my heart as well. Thinking about social impact and thinking about who we are as a organisation, we have, I believe, a responsibility to make sure that everyone in New Zealand has the chance to be digitally connected. We know the benefits that can come from being connected, whether that's learning, working, playing, you know, there's just so many opportunities and I want no one to be left behind. And, you know, if we live in one of the big cities in beautiful Aotearoa, we probably don't feel it as much. But if we're further out, actually getting access to the internet can be a real challenge. And we've done a study recently with DECA looking at even across rural and urban areas, how affordable is the internet for families? And 380,000 households cannot afford an internet plan and a device,
wow,
which is really quite shocking in this day and age. Then there's a huge proportion of adults, especially kind of the senior group, that don't have the confidence and skills to do this. So I see Chorus's responsibility is working with others to close that digital divide. That's the big social impact that we can help tackle. It's really complicated. It affects all sorts of different sectors, you know, telehealth, education. There's so many kind of interdependencies there. But yeah, for me, that's where we need to focus. And my vision is really clear. I want to see digital equity across our beautiful country.
I mean, that's great. One, I guess it's easy to forget how important being connected is this day and age, and also to make a presumption, as I probably do myself, mm-hmm, I'm kind of guilty of this, that, well, you're just online and that's it, because you live close to perhaps even a smaller population centre. You know, I do think I'm aware that when one talks about productivity, for example, one of the main drivers of making people productive or even giving people an opportunity to, you know, drive their own sort of destiny, mm-hmm, is actually being connected and online as, yeah, well. So yeah, it's great that you've got the focus at that area, and that's a lot of people that still obviously haven't got those access to those services as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at National's drive at the moment from a digital perspective is digitalizing government, which is fantastic. Lots of benefits there. But if people can't access and can't use and can't afford that, we have a real challenge on our hands. So I think, you know, as the retail sector goes more and more online, as government moves more and more online and other services move online, we have to make sure that everyone has that fair and equal opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Before we kind of close, though, I do want to sort of get your perspectives on the future. Mm-hmm. So clearly, from a legislative perspective, there's a lot of work underway to find, across the businesses like yourselves in terms of how to report and what the risks are. We might get into a situation where people are more familiar with this new kind of the regime, again, legislation, people's day-to-day lives. So what does it mean for you? I mean, as you look into the future, what are the future opportunities for Chorus, or maybe just more generally for New Zealand?
I think for me, the legislation and this new regime just brings greater transparency and an ability to, I don't know, compare organisations, because to date it's been quite hard to do that. So I hope in the future we just see more action and, you know, organisations recognising where their big opportunities are, because it's a pretty scary space. You know, you see in the headlines every day doom and gloom stories about what's happening with the climate. And I think for many people and organisations, it can feel completely overwhelming. It doesn't have to be. Understand your impact, understand the opportunities that you have in your control to make small changes, and we will get there. We can save this, I guess, disaster if we act now and if we collaborate. And I think that's what I love about the legislation. It's helping to drive that collaboration, that transparency, and that kind of sense of urgency.
I don't know where to go from there, because that's such a fantastic way to round it up. So I think that's, you know, brilliant to hear. Fantastic to hear your insights, of course, as well as how Chorus is operating. Perhaps just ending on maybe just slightly lighter note, as we usually do. So do you have a favourite book or podcast, Hannah?
One of my favourite authors is Ian McEwan. So anything by Ian McEwan is good. But I was listening on the way here to a podcast, which is quite relevant. And I do listen, obviously, to stuff that's connected to my world. But Outrage, Optimism, Impatient for Change with Hannah Ritchie is what I listened to this morning. And it's all about how we can use data to drive positive conversations and hope around sustainability.
Excellent. Thanks, Hannah. And then maybe to finish, I mean, you've already given an amazing quote yourself, but do you have a quote that you can think about?
I do. Be persistent and never give up hope.
Nice. Fantastic. Hannah, it's been great to have you on this morning. Thanks again for all your, for your insights. It's been great to hear about your journey so far, and all the very best for the months and years ahead, and see you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, Hannah. The information provided in this podcast is a guide and is intended for general information purposes only. The information is not investment advice. The information should not be relied upon as a substitute for detailed advice from a professional advisor. The podcast may contain opinions or forward-looking statements, and actual results may vary from what is expressed in this podcast. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the presenter or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of NZX. NZX Limited is not liable for any loss suffered through relying on the information in this podcast. NZX makes no warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the information in this podcast. All intellectual property rights in the content of this podcast are owned or used under license by NZX, and NZX's written consent is required to use, redistribute, or reproduce the content, or use it to create other works.